Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are talking to Mother Teresa, the CEO. This girl had figured it out. I know, I know. And go ahead and get my loveliness co-host, Miss Amy. How are you today?
Well, we're today. Mother Teresa, CEO, Chapter 3. Wait, then pick your moment. But I'm like, am I waiting?
I know.
Am I going? Am I waiting? Am I going?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Question always.
And this really was a great chapter because it made me really look at, we're going to be talking a little bit about emotional, financial, and operational, but I mean, they're kind of making it more business terms, but boy, you could really take that to just aspects of your life and looking at it in just a different way. And I really love that they were talking about, you know, the waiting, and it said, you know, the right time may not be convenient, but when the inspiration comes, it's important to listen. And boy, have we been talking about that over the, all the time when it comes to basically transformation and being able to just, you know, go with those prompts from spirit and be able to move with them. It makes me think of Richard Branson. You know, they had, he did his Virgin Atlantic or a Galactic, right? Virgin Galactic, where he just flew and they basically went up to space, and I think they're there for, I don't know, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, something like that. So they get weightless and then come back to Earth. And this whole experience started back in 2004. So it was 17 years of a vision to be able to bring it into having it actually coming into now where they're going to be seeking to have commercial flights where you can go up there and see the world in a new way. There you go.
Well, it's something I like to,
you know,
I don't want to go.
Say it again.
But I want to send a couple of people.
No, I don't want to go either. I'm an earth being. I like being here, and if I had to leave the planet or stay on the planet and just, you know, go back to the earth, I would go to the earth. That's kind of how I feel about it. I don't have any inkling to, you know, jump on a spaceship, that's for sure. Although, I have to say, back when our mom was had just discovered she had cancer, she really wanted to take all of us to go on a cruise. And I was afraid to go out and be in the ocean, you know?
Right.
I can't see any land.
We were more than just in the ocean. We were several days where you never saw a plane or another ship.
Mm-hmm.
You never know it or not. So, yeah, in a way, it was kind of like being out in space. And I really enjoy it.
I did, too, because, like, once I got over being, you know, motion sick, that first day or so, you're getting sea legs. But I would go up. I get up early in the morning, and I just felt so connected to spirit when I would do that. Mm-hmm. And just be out on the deck, you know, by yourself and have the wind and the water and just kind of being able to see just this vastness, just a small little picture of what creation is and how vast and just amazing it felt. So my whole perspective of embracing that just really shifted as we were, you know, out at sea. So, you know, to say that I would never want to do that, it makes me think about that and how it was just so amazing. So I don't know.
Well, and
I say that and then I have to kind of think about it.
I think that, I don't know about space, but being in space where we're at. So I think what we're, you know, to me, what really comes to me is being able, especially that, do I wait or do I take action? When is my moment? And we'll get more into details about what, you know, her ideas were. And I think it's that being in that stillness, in that not having other ships or internet or other things coming in for your own listening, your own connection. And I think that's,
you know, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about Mother Teresa. She really, we didn't have the level of technology we do now with what she was able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, I think it's great, but I think in some ways it gets in the way. So I'd like
to
start off. Yeah, so the chapter is called Wait, Then Pick Your Moment. And the quote of Mother Teresa is, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin. Mm-hmm. And, we talk a lot about, especially with COVID, and we lost, a lot of people, and we lost situations, we lost jobs. And it really, makes you stop, and, I'm hearing that a lot from people, if not now, when, really, right? And then really preparing, mm-hmm. not jumping. So, Robin, from Flower Wisdom, what would this whole wait and pick a moment, what flower comes to you to represent that?
The dandelion.
Tell me more.
Well, the dandelion, a lot of people will consider that a weed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the just all the gifts and benefits, and I'm thinking of it when it's just getting ready to release all the seeds. That's that level of being patient and having the potential and the persistence that a plant would have to be able to be in a place where it could be prolific and spread itself out in just a million ways of having that. But yet there's that level of, coming up and just being a beautiful sun on the ground, right? Because it's that beautiful yellow flower that looks like a sun. And then having it go into more mature place where it would go ahead and be able to release itself in just a multitude of ways. So it's patient, there's the persistence, and then, being able to assess, once it's done its deal. And remember that dandelions have one of the deepest root systems of pretty much any plant.
Oh, that's interesting.
It can go down 5 or 6 feet. For dandelion, that's
it's really
huge.
Rooted.
Yeah.
It's really rooted.
Right. Deeply rooted. And then you're looking at the benefits of that, how it helps to detox and reset your body, and it has all the different balancing things. I've heard it said that if you have dandelions growing around you, that, don't spray them with pesticides. Pick them and use them to be able to detox yourself, because they're there basically to gift you on whatever level, because it's sensing that you need that to be able to be in balance.
Yeah, again, going back to what's in your environment and paying attention to it, right? And following, the guidance of what's around you and following those cues. Do you want to read on page 40 there, that paragraph? I think that might be a good place to dive in.
Let me go to page 40. So have you ever waited 20 years to begin something? Have you ever had the patience to wait and pick a moment? Mother Teresa did. Nearly 20 years passed from her joining the Sisters of Loreto in Dublin to her starting the Missionary of Charity in Calcutta. The road was long and in more than just miles. Starting a new religious order within the Catholic Church, it's not an easy task. She fought them tooth and nail, and there was just so much resistance. And she just dug in her feet and said, okay, this is something that I know God has given me this vision on the train, and I'm going to hold to that core of, and I love the next thing, the aha says, when a vision emerges from a place deep within us, it is aligned with your core values. That root, yeah, exactly. You can't get it out of your mind, and then suddenly you are open to a whole new world of possibilities, and your brain screams, aha. So it's that I can, and, that's the thing that one of the things I love about this, too, is
I have to.
Right.
And,
the thing about it is,
can we talk about this a moment? For me, I'll start here, so I want to, give you an opportunity to be with this. But in my career, I've always done facilitation and training. I'm highly trained as a facilitator doing that in the government and total quality management, being a college professor, doing for 20 years working with employee assistance programs. But I've always had this vision, this heart. Even when I did my master's, I have to pull it out, but I did a scenario that we created. It was supposed to be energetic and a vision thing with lots of action words and that, but something we wanted to create it. And I have to pull it out, but I believe it's very much along this line. And instead of not wellness based, which a lot of programs are, but my vision has always been, that's why I think Heart Work Hub that I'm working on with Alana, and bringing all these amazing people who do good work to help them be collaborative partners so they don't have to do everything on their own. And there's been a lot of almost starts with it, but I have never given up. Let me tell you, there's times I wanted to, but it picked me up. I couldn't put it down. It kept saying, no, you have to. And even if it's just a little bit, and like, you know, Transformation Cafe is part of that, you know, connecting with amazing people, getting out amazing information, helping seekers, helping people who want to be there. So for me, it's not even what I want to do. It's a pull, you know, it's a pull, it's a push. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it doesn't feel bad. It just feels, I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything like that, Robin?
It's the same kind of a thing. It's like I don't necessarily have to have that how I'm going to get it done, but I know that I need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more that we can let go of the hows and just be open to, you know, what's my next step? What's my next thing? That's one thing that I've really noticed this last year with COVID, that, you know, here I've been designing flowers and just doing business and all that since 1981, you know, we're celebrating our 40th year this year, which I'm very proud of, especially with COVID, that I'm being shown how to do things in different ways that I'd never thought of before. That's easier, makes more sense, you know, and just designing or packaging or whatever I'm doing, driving. I mean, anything. There's just so many ways that when I get myself out of thinking that I know and I'm just open to having something say, what's the best way, that it shows itself.
So you've been doing this for 40 years. Do you,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is the heart of it? What is that, you know, for her, it was helping the poorest of the poor. For me, it's helping people to live consciously.
Using the flowers as a medium for people to be able to heal.
Wow. You've never said that clear before. I love that.
Yeah, because it's you know, whether it's for a birthday and celebrating life, whether it's somebody dying and celebrating life, it's all about these just, sometimes it's subtle and sometimes it's dramatic transitions that people are choosing to do or having kind of thrust upon them with the ways that life shifts us. And the flowers are there to help kind of ease and soothe and just create a, kind of a deep breath of beauty that can be there in the midst of all kinds of things when our brain just doesn't know how to make sense of things sometimes.
Oh, Robin, that's beautiful. Again, I've never heard you say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like you have a clarity you've never had before.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, because it's just like I said, you know, when I design and put flowers together, it's very spiritual for me. And it's just a matter of, like, I seek to just get out of the way and whatever I'm guided to do with the flowers, whether it's in the shaping or the colors or whatever, I truly try to honor that and have it be something that can really be there to support, you know, anyone or anything that they're being asked to walk into.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just so proud of you for staying in the game. I know it's not always been easy, but I know that you've always been driven, and you've done it in such a kind, loving way to everybody around you. And it's noticed, whether you know it is or not, by a lot of people. So I want to come back kind of watching. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I hope you really feel that. You know, when we all know when you walk in, I said for my birthday, you walked in with like 6 dozen roses. They brought my doorstep trying to trick me.
That's staging. Yeah.
And I felt really loved. I felt really, you know, supported. And, you know, when we see you coming,
well,
you
know, I just wanted to blow your socks off. I figured you never had this before. Let's do that.
You did, for sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you talked about with Mother Teresa, and again, she had already had her career. She could have retired. And it said, for Mother Teresa, a call from God en route to a retreat in Darlington, enlightened her that it was time to begin, which she knew she was meant to do. But for those of us who don't have God's number, we need to pay attention to the pearls of wisdom from those around us, as well as keenly observing our own behavior and habits. And, you know, and that's why I think it's so important. That's why you and I do this, you know, podcast, because it helps us to pay attention. And it's really important in our joint mission to help people to find their way to healing, to living consciously, and that's certainly what healing is all about. And so what I want to support all of us in is find those, find that way that you can really pay attention and get, you know, get that information. Anything on that?
And as I said, you know, just be really open to what's coming up in front of you in the moment, and don't be afraid to be curious and ask. You know, ask another that's in front of you, ask spirit, you know, ask spirit in a way that you can be open to what, you know, what, however it seeks to communicate with you. Because it's,
well,
it's there, and we are getting messages all the time. It's a matter of being, being a witness to what's happening around us.
Well, and I really believe, you know, it's all about asking really good questions. And here's the tricky part. Have the courage to listen to the answers. And God answers us in ways we don't expect. And, you know, because we get it in our head, it's supposed to be like this or that. Be open to it, you know, what it could look like. So we'll just kind of explain that as we go. Go ahead. So we're moving into readiness. And I love what she talks about.
Which really surprised me in this chapter. Yeah, the whole concept of readiness. And,
you
know, like I said, are you ready? Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready.
Well, and let's see,
but
talk about that. And I love this. This is one of my favorite sentences of all time. It said, armed with a clear vision, an unrelenting focus, an unswerving commitment, she did everything they asked her to do in order to move towards her goal. Is that not a... I love that sentence. I'm going to have that embroidered on a pillow. And, you know, and talk about, and I'm going to talk about what they talk about, right, in terms of our readiness, you know. So, Darlene and Sarah, hear me. I need that on a pillow. So I'm working on them. Making that for me.
Just send them the,
so
they
can sleep on it, right? Sleep on your, you know, sleep on your dreams. And so they talk about,
if when you have a book and you're, like, having a hard time processing it, just put it under your pillow, and apparently it helps you to figure it all out. That's all good.
Edgar Casey did that, you know, and it worked for him. So it can be talked about readiness as a complex state, and we're going to talk about what they talk about. But I believe you're never really ready, or you never believe you're ready. And I think when you're ready, you are ready. But there's very rarely do I see people who think they're ready. And, you know, one of my favorite analogies that I like to use with people is, like, when you take action, you form readiness. I mean, certainly, you know, do the other part, too. We'll talk a little bit about that. But, you know, you certainly get counselors and support, Small Business Administration, you know, different, you know, organizations and, you know, business coaches, different things. But there's also this spiritual element, too, that you, the answers come in the action. So when you walk towards those glass doors at the grocery store, if you're going to stand there and wait for them to open, you're going to wait a long time because they don't open.
Pry that sucker open. Yeah, exactly.
And I think
that's a good point. Then you have to pretend you're like, you've got the force and you can, like, you're like on Star Wars and you could just open
it. Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do. So.
Well, and I love the whole readiness was because you're talking about emotional readiness. I automatically thought of COVID in 2020 because there was just such a calling for adaptability and change and, you know, just the readiness. So it says emotional readiness is the ability to successfully and rapidly adjust to constant and possible extreme emotions with the highs and lows. And I'm like, well, wow, that doesn't sound like the last couple years that we've had. And how do I...
And also mentally, which is, you know, attitude. So I think emotions, you know, you need, you know, emotional intelligence is really important. But there's also, you know, not, you know, positive attitude, but not Pollyanna positive, right? I'm, you know, like I always like to say, I'm an optimistic critical thinker. And be willing to pivot and change your attitude when you have new facts, you know, but having that balance. So that, you know, I want to add that mental part. The attitude and the emotional, yes, very important. Because if you, you know, if you, you know, don't deal with that, you're going to shut yourself down.
Yeah, I think that's a really important component that they didn't necessarily address, because, you know, they're talking about, you know, there's a difference between actions and reflections of different kinds of stuff. So, you know, it's being able to ask, you know, am I ready to, you know, move, you know, to be moving my vision forward. But it's like, how am I thinking about my vision? Mm-hmm. You know, there could be all these roadblocks to yourself, you know, that you put in front of yourself that are just, you know, illusionary when it comes to being able to actually just keep moving, you know, keep laying the groundwork and knowing that, you know, you will be able to do it when it's all said and done. I was thinking of the field of dreams.
It may change, right? So we get in our head,
change.
Social look like a certain thing.
No, and then it will change.
Jay Hendricks.
Yeah.
Hendrix decided he was going to be a writer. His new book, The Genius Zone, it just came out last week. And what he talks about, it's a continuation of work he's done before, but now it's a little more the how to do it. But he was going to be a writer. He knew he was going to be a writer, so he got, you know, education to be a writer. He went to work for a newspaper, and he hated it, absolutely hated it. So he ended up taking a counseling class or self-development class in college and went, oh, my God, I really love this. And so what he ended up doing was writing about personal development. But he didn't understand what kind of writing you're supposed to do. He just knew you're supposed to be a writer. So part of that is it's you lean into things. You try things. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's it. Oh, no, that's not it. You know?
Yeah, I was thinking of the field of dreams when I was reading that section and just made me think about, you know, they created that field from the cornfield, the baseball diamond. So it's that matter of, like, you know, preparing it and, you know, the event will happen because you're moving your intentions, you're moving you know, heaven and earth, literally, from you know, just a sense of, like, yeah, wouldn't it be great to, like, well, here it is. And then having those other components appearing as you move your role, move yourself forward.
You know?
Right, you stay in the game. It's perfect, yeah.
Right, it's easy to start
and stay in the game.
It's easy to get excited, but it's staying the course when things aren't as fun and exciting. A really good example is our sister Judy, who always knew she wanted to help people with their careers, and she struggled with her own learning. And she kind of fell on it. She didn't want to go to college because our father had died in active duty. She got money to go to school and then took a counseling class. And, like, oh, my God. So she ended up creating the Career Institute. And her thing was, I don't care who we do career counseling for, you know, whether it's seniors or dogs or kids. And she ended up creating one of the largest and most successful youth at risk career programs, which is still going on. And when one of the things, and you probably heard her say this, one of the things she said, you know, all of a sudden we're flying a plane. I knew the heart of it, the dream of it, but I really didn't know how to do it. And I found collaborative partners, and I'm doing it. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, we need to land this thing. I need to build, you know, landing gear. And so it's kind of like, okay, you know, and it's great to prepare and financially prepare, operationally prepare, all those things. And there's lots of great people who can help you with that. But you're not going to know until you get in there and start happening things. I know Lisa Hammond, who created Female Creations and was this small business owner of the year years ago. She came to speak at a conference that I created, and she said, I had no idea what I was getting into. And she was very successful, but if she knew what she was getting into, she would not have started it. But she knew she wanted to.
Well, you know, you hear that about, yeah, you hear that a lot about with people that they think they have the concepts of business. But yet, you know, if I had known everything I would have to gone to, I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
I wouldn't have done it. Yeah, yeah. With this whole thing, too, I had a really great image in my mind of, you know, you've got this river in front of you, right? And you're looking to go ahead, and you're just like with all the things that preparing yourself, is, you know, packing the boat with all the provisions, you know, to support the journey. So it's being pro with your visions and having those be something that you can move forward with. And when I wrote that down, I was like, wow, I love that.
Well, I would say, so I write you my favorite sentence. You know, here's my favorite paragraph. And this is on page 44. And one of my things is, years ago, this Live With Heart model came to me in the middle of the night and made my husband get up at 3 in the morning to do a PowerPoint. Of the balance of action and reflection. And I love this paragraph. It says, a balance between action and reflection is critical to keep focused during the emotional ups and downs of leadership. When reflecting, ask yourself if you're moving towards your vision, laying the groundwork to ensure that you are ready when the time is right. Mother Teresa used the time it took to obtain church approval to prepare herself and her organization. Thus, when she finally received approval, she was ready, and the missionaries of charity began.
Mm-hmm. It made me think of President Kennedy when he did his speech about going to the moon.
Yeah, well, that's a great analogy, or not analogy, in the story.
So
yes.
how long, I know, how far out were we actually already talking about it on a secret level when he did his speech about, you know, let's go to the moon?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take that long. I think maybe, gosh, I don't even, it would be interesting to look at the stats on that of, like, how long from him doing that speech did we actually do that?
Yeah, it was phenomenal, you know, having been part of, you know, the space program.
Yeah, so, you know, the 17 years with, you know, Virgin Galactic, I'm sure that there had been at least a decade or so of planning to say, yeah, let's go to the moon before we made it public. So it's that whole thing of, like, you know, gathering what I need. And it makes me think of all the Harry Potter books, too, because when she was writing all those books, she literally had bags, like these bags that she, paper bags that she had, of like, oh, this part of the story is going to go in this book, and this part of the story is going to go in that book. And she literally would just put all the different things that she would gather as she went around to inspire her for the different things that needed to happen in each book. So part of it was the instinctual knowing what that was going to look like in the vast picture of all the different books that got written with Harry. Which I thought was just fascinating, that it was that much of a large vision instead of thinking, oh, it's just book to book. Because you think some writers, you know, and some do, they just sit down and they write the next book. But, you know, she definitely had a plan for all of it. So, pretty cool, pretty cool.
I want to walk through the process here a little bit, and we'll just kind of play with it.
Mm-hmm.
She says, patience is required. Persistence is mandatory. You know, and being unwavering and unceasing. Once you know what it is, like using flowers as a tool to heal, right? Once you know what that is, you hope that they putting a flag in the ground, this is what I'm here to do, I'm doing this. It may happen in many different ways, but this is what I'm doing. And for me, helping people to live consciously, I'm really clear on that. And, of course, number one, it's me doing it myself, right? And of course, for you, number one is doing it yourself and in everything that you do. And then assessing your readiness emotionally, financially, operationally. And I want to add mentally or your attitude. And I want to add support. Do you have the support you need? You know, not just financially and all that, but, I mean, you have people that you can call in the middle of the night, you know, and with yays and oh craps, right? You need those people who are going to, you know, you're like, I'm giving up, and they'll listen. And, you know, just to be there for you until you decide, you know, okay, you want to, fine, I'll support that. Is that what you want to do? And just really being able to be there for them. So what came to me was kind of looking at those five areas, emotional, financial, operational, mental, attitude, and support, and rating where you're at with your mission or calling on a rating of 0 to 5. 0 is like, nope, not ready at all. 5 is, yeah, I'm over ready, right? I'm overripe. You know, make the banana bread now. I mean, I'm it's that banana's ready. And what came to me through our conversation just now was ask really good questions, listen deeply, keep an open mind and heart, and act when you know.
And I think that's really too, is, you know, keeping an open mind and an open heart. It's like mental, I think, heart-based is something that's really important to have as a part of the components, but to really be able to hold on to something and move it forward. I have to listen to my heart. Yeah, it's a great book, and I mean, especially, I mean, you could, like I said, we could take it from a business perspective, or we can take it from a very personal perspective. And either way, it's something that really can assist you be able to be moving things forward Next week, we're going to talk about embracing the power of doubt. And boy, can that be something that really can hold you back and be one of those things that, you know, she wants to categorize as emotional, but yeah, exactly. But making it very much of a mental process and you know, moving past those things, because boy, that could just freeze you in the water.
Well, I don't know.
A lot of other things.
You know, we'll have a good conversation about that. It's about, do you have the courage to face it? Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of a good friend of mine, you know, our dear friend Kelly, one of the things we talk about, like, if you find yourself in hell, don't pitch a tent.
Exactly.
Keep walking.
Although you could make some oars. You could make some oars, and that would be exciting.
Pretty easily. That's for sure.
Everything melts at the same time. So it's all good. Well, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to next week.
Great show.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.